Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, our journey draws us closer to that wonderful gift you have given to each of us as you offer to us life in the place of our sinful nature, where you give to us that gift that far surpasses our understanding. And so today we take up Pilate, another witness to Christ. Help us to see that we too sometimes forget. Sometimes we don't want to admit that we too want to just not handle the hot topics in our lives. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I saw a woman today who finally became hard as wood all over. This was written by a French doctor named Guy Patin in 1692. They tell us it is the first recorded description of, and excuse me, this is those Greek words that go on and hard to say, fibrodysplasia ossificans progressiva. I'm sure you all got that. Well, we're going to refer to it as FOB from here out in the sermon. This is a disease that slowly and irreversibly turns people into solid stone. Disease imprisons the entire body, back to front, top to bottom, ligaments, tendons, muscles, as the body becomes as hard as cement. There's a thought on how to die. FOB has one goal: slowly harden the body until you are dead. Today, we want to look at Pontius Pilate. Pilate is one of those who is notorious in history. As our principal Erickson was having chapel with the kids this morning, he talked about Pontius Pilate when he was growing up being that guy with the horns. Because we said in the creed, suffered under Pontius Pilate. And he had this image. Pilate, yes, notorious, down through history. Some would say he's right up there with Hitler and Stalin, Osama bin Laden, and yeah, maybe soon to be Putin. If Pilate's name was mentioned at a baseball game, you might see booze being cleared out. The Apostle Creed includes these words: born the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. Pilate had spiritual FOB. In his case, it started and went right to the heart. Back to front, top to bottom. There again, FOB has one goal: harden our heart until we are spiritually dead. It's difficult to notice at first. It just appears slowly, as our priorities seem to be just a little mixed up. It happens when we stop praying, stop repenting, stop trusting Jesus. And then it leads us to those days when the words like Jesus, Holy Communion, Bible study, worship, Easter, and salvation have no impact on us because we have become spiritually dead. It has achieved its goal. According to that inscription found in 1991 on the Mediterranean coast, we know that Pilate ruled as governor of Judea from AD 26 to AD 36. Pilate was one who came from a middle-class family. That was huge, a middle-class family. But Pilate also served in the Roman army in Germany. And while on leave in Rome, he married an upper-class Roman woman named Claudia Procula. She just happened to be the granddaughter of Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor. Pilate was in. He got his position he never should have had as he became the governor in Judea. Yes, there was that betrayal of Judas Iscariot, which we get to next week, but then that night there is the trial as Jesus is brought to the Sanhedrin, to the high priest, and there they have that mockery of a trial. The Jewish Supreme Court. What we know is there are at least 27 criminal codes of the Mishnah Sanhedrin that were violated on that night. Starting with the trial itself being on the eve of Passover. They accused him of blasphemy because that was punishable by death under the Mishnah Sanhedrin. Just one simple problem. They could sentence him, but they couldn't carry it out. That's where Pilate comes into the picture during Holy Week. And there they are at 6 a.m. in the morning after they had this kangaroo court. There they were at the Roman fortress Antonia. The chief priests, the scribes, they were all there. They had Jesus where they wanted him to be. Now they just had one simple problem. They needed to get Pilate to make the sentence they couldn't make. And so this became, as Principal Erickson talked to the kids about, the hot potato for Pilate. You've all played that game at some time or another. Here was Pilate's hot potato. He asked the routine question, what's this man done wrong? Well, they really can't answer, but because you see, there's no Roman law against blasphemy. And they understood that Pilate, who really didn't like the Jews, they had to be very careful with him. They wanted Pilate to be able to sentence him to death, and yet they knew that Pilate wanted no part of their religious debates. And as this time before Pilate goes on, Pilate is becoming harder and harder by the minute. As you read in the text, Pilate first had Jesus flogged, a crown put on his head, a purple robe. They mocked him. They beat him. And then Pilate brings him out to them and says, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." And Jesus came out wearing the crown, the purple robe. And Pilate says, "Behold the man." He had hoped that now he had satisfied their desire. But that isn't where the story takes us. They say, "Crucify him, crucify him." According to our law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God. Now, when Pilate heard this, we're told he was even more afraid. And so he asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" And Jesus gave him no answer. "You will not speak to me," Pilate said. "Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and the authority to crucify you?" And Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." Now Pilate, even more determined to release Jesus. And so there they were. Pilate, there with the hot potato. He doesn't want and doesn't see the need. He doesn't find Jesus guilty of any of the things that he has been charged with. And Pilate questions Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" The important word is king. King meant one thing to the Jews. It meant something different to the Romans and to Pilate. And Jesus' answer is confusing. "Yes, I'm a king, just not the kind of king that you are thinking of." The chief priests, the Pharisees, they want Pilate to believe that Jesus is just one of those other insurrectionists. They want Pilate to believe that he's a revolutionary leader, a threat to Rome, so that he could be crucified. But Jesus answers, "My kingdom is not of this world. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And of course, then there's that cynical reply of Pilate. What is truth? With each of these steps, the heart of Pilate is harder and harder and harder. He's looking for a way out. He has him scourged, just short of death. But the crowd, unsatisfied. They play the trump card. "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend." Pilate knew what they meant. It was Passover time. Jerusalem was filled. The streets were filled. They also knew that Tiberius was sick. He was always suspicious of those under him. He was known to be violent. And he could turn on his underlings on a dime and be quite savage. He would not appreciate the news of a riot in Jerusalem. Pilate, with his family connections, he couldn't take a chance. The Jews are playing blackmail with Pilate, and it works. Pilate would have let Jesus go if it was a matter of Jesus or the Jews. But he had no use for the Jews. So that would have been easy. But the Jews had framed the issue well. They had set him up. The blackmail makes it a choice between Jesus or Rome. You see, we as human beings will do many things to save our skin. What would you do to save your job, your status, your reputation? Pilate wanted nothing to do with the hot potato he'd been given. "Shall I crucify your king?" he says. Yes. This is what they wanted. This was what they had set out to accomplish. The Jews respond and tell Pilate, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate knows that things are getting out of hand. We have no king but Caesar. Pilate knew that was not the truth. That's what they wanted him to hear. He also knew that he couldn't stand a Jewish riot, not in the midst of the time of Passover. Yes, Pilate. He sort of demonstrates that whole issue of what's in it for me? What's in it for me is that FOB in our eyes that hardens our heart. Hardens our heart that creates all kinds of damage. It can hurt a marriage. It can hurt kids. It can hurt family. It can hurt friends. You see, spiritual FOB is killing every one of us. But the truth is, it's not too late. We, each year, take that journey to the cross. We see what God has done on our behalf. Yes, Jesus removes that heart of stone, and he creates a new spirit within us. That's what we proclaim in our worship time and time again. This is what Christ promised for us. And when we come to this Holy Week, look at the events. They're about you and me. Christ making it possible for God to create a new heart within us, to give us a new spirit. Pilate had FOB, and as his heart hardened, he gave in to their demands. But when we would be quick to criticize Pilate, we all suffer from spiritual FOB. But the truth is, God has an answer to spiritual FOB. It is Christ. Amen.